But I have a very good friend who knows about ghosts. She's a great comic. You ever get to see her do stand-up? She's a hilarious comic. Her name is Karen Rontowski. And she really does. She knows a lot of things about ghosts. I don't know anything about ghosts, but she was over at my house one time. She thinks I'm afraid of ghosts. I am not. I don't know. So she said to me, you wouldn't want me to open this app in your house. It would tell you if you have any ghosts. And I said, app? Where'd you get the app? And she said, App Store. And I said, please open Ghost Radar in my home. Ghost Radar is just that. It's just a radar. Boop, boop, boop. And so she opened it. Guess what happened? Ghost! Right behind me. Weird. I have never met a ghost. Whenever anything might have been a ghost, I tend to go water heater.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett in the virtual studio with the whole gang, Fred Rasko, Wendy Hagenmeyer, and Marley Givens. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Merry Litsmas, everybody.
Merry Litsmas.
Yes, it's Litsmas, our annual Christmas show. And this year, well, how should I explain it? It seemed like the best intersection of Christmas, library science, and the continuing shocks of the COVID-19 pandemic was ghosts.
I really thought the ghosts in A Christmas Carol were a magnificent one-time invention by Charles Dickens. How wrong I was. I had no idea that ghost stories used to be such a big deal at Christmas.
Well, let's check the list of Christmas activities listed in It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, written in 1963 by Eddie Pola and Georgia Wilde. I've got kids jingle belling, everyone telling you be of good cheer.
Holiday greetings, gay happy meetings when friends come to call.
Much mistletoeing, hearts will be glowing.
Oh, Fred couldn't resist.
Parties for hosting. Marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow.
And here it is, scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Well, if pop culture says it, it must be true.
So, today's topic is ghosts.
And our songs today are about Christmas and about ghosts, and sometimes about Christmas and ghosts. So, let's start with a reminder of how Christmas cheer can haunt us. This is Holly Golightly singing Tom Heinel's Christmas Tree on Fire right here on Lost in the Stacks.
The Christmas tree's on fire, it's burning down.
That was Christmas Tree on Fire by Holly Golightly, and this is Lost in the Stacks. We're talking ghosts because it's Christmas Eve.
Charlie, do you have any primary sources to back up this connection?
You know I do, and it's all thanks to Fred. He really came through for us here. He found a book through Hathi Trust, and I think we should start with reading the entire title page here. Okay? This is what it says. Told After Supper by Jerome K. Jerome.
Author of The Idle Thoughts of an Idle Fellow. On the stage and off, etc., etc., etc.
With 96 or 97 illustrations by Kenneth M. Skeeping.
And let me break the reading to describe the illustration on this page. It's a skull wearing an eye patch, smoking a pipe, framed by a square of bones and attended by a rat and an owl.
And it's amazing. And then the title page continues. London, the Leadenhall Press, EC.
Simpkin, Marshall, Hamilton, Kent, and Company Limited. Those are very British names.
New York, Scribner and Welford, 743 and 745 Broadway.
1891.
Fun fact, this was scanned from an original copy at Princeton University, where a ghost of this show resides.
Ask me who he was.
Okay. I'm comfortable, Charlie, with the provenance of your source. So what does Jerome say about ghosts and Christmas?
Okay, well, he's very long-winded, as I guess was the style of the time. So here's a slightly edited reading. It is always Christmas Eve in a ghost story. Christmas Eve is the ghost's great gala night.
Why on Christmas Eve, of all nights in the year, I never could myself understand. It is invariably one of the most dismal of nights to go out in. Cold, muddy, and wet.
And besides, at Christmas time, everybody has quite enough to put up with in the way of a house full of living relations without wanting the ghosts of any dead ones mooning about the place, I'm sure.
There must be something ghostly in the air of Christmas. Something about the close, muggy atmosphere that draws up the ghosts, like the dampness of the summer rains brings out the frogs and snails.
And not only do the ghosts themselves always walk on Christmas Eve, but live people always sit and talk about them on Christmas Eve. Whenever five or six English-speaking people meet round a fire on Christmas Eve, they start telling each other ghost stories.
Nothing satisfies us on Christmas Eve but to hear each other tell authentic anecdotes about specters.
It is a genial, festive season, and we love to muse upon graves and dead bodies and murders and blood. Okay, Jerome, does this feel right to anybody here?
Doesn't sound like any Christmas I've experienced. Like I said at the beginning, Charles Dickens was all I knew about ghosts at Christmas. I didn't know that it was a thing.
So this is 1891, and Jerome, who, as we know, had already established himself with the idle thoughts of an idle fellow and on the stage and off, he's writing like everybody knows this. And then the whole book is ghost stories, as if they were told around the fire by the five or six English-speaking people. Victorian ghost stories were the standard. The dead bodies, graves, murders, and blood for Christmas Eve, I still reel from. My theory is that English people are insane. Fred, perhaps you can back me up on this.
I'm married to one, so.
Yeah. No, but seriously, so Halloween, I know, is not that big a thing in England. It's almost like in America, we've separated Halloween and Christmas into these two pieces, Christmas Eve into these two pieces. But I can't quite get my head around Christmas Eve being graves, dead bodies, murders, and blood. Does it work for anybody else?
It sounds like hygge to me. Like the cozy phenomenon, which is about, you know, staying inside, but also about being scared so that you feel safer in your house. You know, the contrast.
That's pretty good. And it certainly fits, like if we're talking about England, Christmas is a dismal time weather-wise. You want to be inside around the fire, be it electric or wood.
It's a lot farther north, so the shortest day of the year is even shorter there. So it's a dark day, or nearly. It's near the solstice, I guess.
Does anybody subscribe to the sort of general theory that Christmas is a pagan ritual that's been subsumed by Christianity? I don't feel even remotely qualified to remark upon that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well established. It was pagan festival co-opted by Christianity. As far as how that relates to ghosts, I don't know the history of that. And I don't know the history of ghosts in the pagan tradition.
I can tell you that the ghosts in the Christian tradition, like as far as in the Bible, are not related to the Christmas story at all. I mean, it's definitely, it takes place at night, and people get scared by angels. So maybe that has a little something to do with it. But.
And aren't angels, if you read the descriptions, quite terrible things? Like super spooky?
Yes. Everyone who encounters an angel in the Bible tends to be like petrified and have to be reassured, be not afraid.
like a skull with an owl or a crow next to it.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we're on to something here.
So it is Christmas Eve. I very much want to like hold on to old traditions, but I just don't feel that pull to tell ghost stories. But an entire country did, so much so that this popular book said, this is all we do on Christmas Eve, and the ghosts are only on Christmas Eve. So we're going to dig more into that. We'll be back with more ghosts and more Litsmas after a music set.
File this set under PZ7.D55.
You just heard Searching for the Ghost by the Heartless Bastards. And before that, A Victorian Villain's Christmas by Valentine Wolfe. Songs about discovering what's spooky and frightening, just like the Victorians did during holidays past.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and we're celebrating Litsmas, our annual Christmas show. Our topic is ghosts, because at one time, in one place, nothing was more appropriate on Christmas Eve than ghost stories.
And that time and place was Victorian England, which, if we have to give it years, was 1837 to 1901.
It's not a stretch to say that the most famous Christmas Eve ghost story is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol from 1843. The kind of Christmas that Dickens portrayed, a Christmas celebrated by rich and poor alike, encouraging good cheer and generosity, with time off from work and gifts for everybody, was relatively new to England.
To make a long story very short, the economic boom of the Industrial Revolution, plus the mixing of English and German culture that came with Queen Victoria's marriage to Prince Albert, helped England finally shake off the puritanical suppression of Christmas celebrations from the 17th century and start getting some good old-fashioned paganism back in the holiday.
There's a nice bookend to the Victorian era's Christmas tradition of ghost stories. The scholar Montague Rhodes James, better known as M.R. James, was an accomplished medievalist and professor at the end of the 19th century and into the 20th, working at King's College, Eton, and Cambridge. But he is famous for his ghost stories, which he wrote to read aloud to friends on Christmas Eve by candlelight. The collection Ghost Stories of an Antiquary was published in 1904 and is still being republished now and studied and celebrated. Charlie, did you ever read M.R. James? I don't think I have.
I had to read M.R. James for a podcast one time, a Super Context episode, because my co-host, Christian, was fascinated with the idea of ghost stories on Christmas Eve. And this is what got me into it. M.R. James was, you know, famous enough as a scholar, but he also had this, I think it would seem kitschy now, but this ritual of Christmas Eve where he would invite friends over and they would come into the house and he wouldn't be around. They'd come in and be around the fire and drink wine and get ready. And then he would walk out with his newest story and by single candlelight read his ghost story to everyone. And M.R. James's Christmas stories were not the kind of Christmas stories that, say, Dickens was implying, or even Jerome K. Jerome was talking about when he said, oh, everyone gets around and talks about ghost stories where ghosts come and tell you about the old life. M.R. James was almost this like change in ghost stories. He wrote about ghosts that come out of things and get you, which is different from the ghost stories of the Victorian Christmas era, I think. There's this big idea that the ghosts are telling you about what happened to them and what might happen to you, and sort of warning you, but also sort of comforting you in these older Victorian stories. The M.R. James stories coming in, you know, the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, they were like, hey, the world is a terrible place, and there's these monsters with teeth and hair and, you know, weird things that are possessing books and photographs and medieval texts, etc. So putting those two things together, it started to really make as much of a case for Christmas ghost stories as I could make. before there was sort of the revisiting of the past, remembrances, and some kind of connection to the past through ghosts. Whereas once you started getting a lot more recording materials available, people started to think of those as haunted and less about ghosts, I think.
It sounds to me like Christmas used to be the stories and culture around Christmas used to sort of reinforce the actual weather and environment and season. Like, it's cold, it's dreary, and so they tell stories, and the celebration on Christmas Eve is about reinforcing that. And now it's shifted, and I'm not sure why, but it's like bringing lights in and decoration, bright colors and lively parties. And we watch happy movies on comedies on TV. It's shifted somehow. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, you know, like in Scooby-Doo, the villain is always capitalism, Fred. No, but seriously, like I think so much of setting, you know, the Industrial Revolution made it possible to sometimes take off work, right? Because you weren't dealing with live things anymore or natural processes that would get out of control. You were dealing with a factory that you could switch off if you needed to for Christmas Day and maybe Boxing Day. And now we're in like this hardcore consumer society where you're working on Christmas Day because you can still check your email. So maybe you've got to have light, happy stuff to get you through the day.
I've never checked my email on Christmas.
I bet if you were working for Ebenezer Scrooge, you would have had to check your email on Christmas.
Right.
I mean, that does seem like an updated Christmas Carol would involve having to, you know, babysit a server on Christmas Day. Wendy, what do you think?
I'm feeling more into this idea. Like, kind of shockingly, I'm like more interested in this ghost story thing than I was like, Charlie, what is Charlie doing with this show? Like, ghosts, this is not Christmassy, but I kind of get it.
Well, we only have like a minute or so in this segment. Can you talk a little more why you get it? Although I think the cozy thing, I think you're right about that. That seems to be the key to getting into your Christmas cheer.
It seems like, well, Christmas Eve is like a transition from like dark to light, kind of. And like, sometimes we just skip immediately to the light, like with the cozy, bright celebration spread that you're talking about. But like, I can really see the value of making time for the sort of dark mourning, death processing thing going on with the ghost stories. Yeah, because if you don't make time for it, you know, eventually it's going to pop out if you just try to watch a fluffy Christmas movies your whole life.
If you don't make time for it, it's going to make time for you.
I definitely think there is something to really getting into the dark so that the sort of pop of the next day is even more so. It becomes an even more of a celebration because we've come through the darkest night of the year. And we're out on the other side.
You're listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll be back with more Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future on the left side of the hour.
Hi, this is Mandy Shep, the Loudmouth Librarian, and you're listening to Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta.
Today's show is Litsmas 2021, all about ghosts for Christmas Eve. In December of 1843, introducing A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens wrote, "I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea, which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly, and no one wish to lay it." So let's update that. We have endeavored in this ghostly little program to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put our listeners out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with us. May it haunt their radios and earbuds pleasantly, and no one wish to turn it off. File this set under BF1451.G4. Oh, that was a full one. You just heard Ghosts of Christmas Past by Bearcat. And before that, Become Your Ghost by Slant Six. Before that, Casper the Friendly Ghost, originally by the legendary Daniel Johnston, by Mike Doty. And we started with a little ditty by St. Vincent called Dancing with a Ghost. Those were songs about the different things that ghosts can mean to us.
Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. It's Litsmas, which we celebrate. We're trying to get it to catch on everywhere else. If you're listening on the radio, it's Christmas Eve. We're broadcasting this on December 24th, 2021, originally. And we've been talking about ghost stories. So let's finish the show with a question. Can Victorian Christmas Eve ghost stories translate to post-industrial American Christmas time? I have to say for myself, I like my non-ghost Christmas with comedy movies on TV and, you know, strings of lights and stuff like that. But what do you guys think?
I'm going to be dead serious, even though it sounds like I'm making a joke. There's some connection to the now ubiquitous Die Hard is a Christmas movie argument. There's something about finding an extreme opposite of the feeling you're trying to celebrate to sort of expel something. I'm thinking of Mardi Gras before Lent, you know, and maybe, you know, Christmas Eve is the culmination of a year leading up to Christmas. And maybe we won't tell ghost stories about the young girl at the end of the hallway who leads us to the study where we find the book. But maybe there's something about expelling the pain or the haunting of a year before you then celebrate on Christmas morning.
Yeah, I think this idea works well this year. I think sort of feeling like the ghosts of the whole COVID last few years, just sort of memories like floating in and out, like, ooh, that was painful. Ooh, that was, we got through that, sort of like these emotional resonances, almost like being haunted. Because I think that there was a lot of sort of like cultural grief going on. And it's sort of like the after image of the grief or something feels like sometimes like being haunted at the end of 2021. I don't know where we are, but sometimes I'm experiencing that lately. So I think that kind of fits with this idea of haunting. But personally, I can't. I'm too scared. So I like this idea, but I can't. I really want to be able to, but too spooky.
Yeah, I'm really with Wendy. I'm not a horror person. I don't enjoy being scared. I do kind of see there's a little bit of a ghost hanging over Christmas though, which I see, you know, when I bring out this box of ornaments that includes, things that were given to me when I was a child. And, you know, there's something in that object cause it's, I've carried it around for, you know, 50 years or so. You know, there are things that my grandparents gave me, you know, there are a lot of memories that are kind of wrapped up in Christmas, which, you know, you're talking about the objects having ghostly qualities. That's what I immediately thought of. But kind of changing gears, I think that I can see, you know, this pendulum swing of our consumer culture. And it's not just COVID, but during my lifetime, you know, Black Friday became more and more and more of a thing, to the point that stores started actually opening on Thanksgiving Day and just sort of bulldozing over the entire holiday. And we're starting to see that being walked back in the recent past. So I think, you know, because of COVID or for whatever reason, we're maybe trying to turn our attention back toward family and simplicity and, you know, not making this such a free-for-all season of consumerism.
Yeah. Sometimes a ghost story might actually be a story about someone who has died and whose memory is still around. You know, I feel that very strongly. My father died last year, and we had Christmas right after, and that was just, we were all in shock. But now this is the first Christmas after kind of grief has settled into a part of life as opposed to the only thing. And he very gently haunts all the stuff we're doing that he used to be a part of. And so I can understand that pull to kind of remember and maybe even protect from superficiality.
You guys have convinced me. I think after image is the word that Wendy used. And, you know, Marley's the same thing. I have ornaments that I got from my grandparents. They've been dead for well over 20 years. So I guess at Christmas, you know, I still hang those on the tree. I still see dead people.
Well, on that note, this is Lost in the Stacks, and it's time to hear a few more songs about ghosts.
File this set under DA551.I5.
That was Horror Christmas by the Angry Snowmans. And before that, we heard Ghost Rider by Suicide. And we started this set with Walking with a Ghost by the White Stripes. Songs about dealing with ghosts in our modern age.
Happy Litsmas, everyone. We've been talking about ghost stories, a Victorian tradition for Christmas Eve, and I feel like we've almost made a case for it to be a current tradition for Christmas Eve. So let's return to the present. Fred, that pun was a little gift to you for Christmas.
Thank you.
What are y'all's favorite, or at least most consistent, Christmas Eve traditions?
Mine would be something that we started just a few years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Jóla Bókaflóð, which is an Icelandic tradition of giving books to each other on Christmas Eve. Our family gives each other a book on Christmas Eve.
Really impressed with that pronunciation, Fred.
I just looked
your
it
tradition.
Up.
That's great. It's not, I don't do it every year, but one cozy thing I often like to do on Christmas Eve is watch the film version of A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. There was a movie made, I think, in the 80s, and I think it's really great. So I like to watch that every year.
I turn on the Fireplace for Your Home movie and play some Christmas carols.
The Christmas Eve tradition that I can think of as like the most consistent and the most satisfying is after all the stuff that you've done between when the kids go to bed and you're going to go to bed, there's a single glass of wine before bedtime that you can sit in front of the Christmas tree and see all the soon to be devastation. Have that glass of wine and then go to bed. And with that, let's roll some spooky credits. Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Written and produced by Charlie Bennett, Fred Rasko, Marley Givens, and Wendy Hagenmeyer.
Today's show was edited and assembled by Charlie in a slightly haunted basement.
Legal counsel and a sheet with a couple of eye holes in it were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Christian Sager for the seed of this show. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org. And you can subscribe to our podcast almost anywhere you get your audio fix.
Next week's show is a rerun, a.k.a. the ghost of a previous show. And you'll hear a new show from us sometime in the new year.
It's time for our last song today, and we'll close our spooky Litsmas themed show with a song about being haunted by the holidays of the recent past. This is Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great holiday, everybody.
Merry libraries.
Happy archives.
Happy Litsmas to all.